Today we're building a selector dub-style VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12, and then arranging it so it actually works in a jungle or old-school D&B track. The goal here is not just to make a cool synth hit. The goal is to make a sound that behaves like a track element. Something that can answer the drums, cut through the bass line, and bring tension without wrecking the low end. That's the difference between a nice sound and a usable D&B weapon. Start simple. Load up Waveatable or analog on a MIDI track. Waveatable is a great choice because it gives you quick control over bright detuned motion, but analog works too if you want a more immediate old-school feel. Build the core with two saw-style oscillators or Waveatable positions that behave like saws. Detune them slightly, just enough to create width and instability, not enough to sound out of tune. Keep it in the mid-range. You do not want sub-weight here. Set the amp envelope like a stab, not a pad. Fast attack, short decay, low sustain. Short release. Think hit first, tail second. If the attack is too soft, it loses the rave punch. If the decay is too long, it starts smearing into the break and the bass line. What to listen for here is really simple. The front edge should feel like a hit. The tail should vanish quickly enough that the next drum transient can breathe. If it already sounds polite, don't worry. We're going to rough it up. Now shape the harmony. This is the first real creative decision. Do you want the stab to lean bright and VHS rave, or darker and more selector dub? For jungle and old school D&B, I'd usually start darker. Use a minor-ish voicing, something tense and compact. Keep the notes simple. Root, minor third, minor seventh, suspended flavors, that kind of language. Avoid huge open voicings that sound like a pad in a trance track. Why this works in D&B is because you're already dealing with busy drums and a powerful bass line. A strong stab doesn't need a lot of notes. It needs identity. The less it clutters the low end, the more it can act like a signature. A really good move here is to make the stab rhythmic instead of constant. Program it on offbeats or syncopated spots rather than hammering every downbeat. That lets it dance with the break instead of fighting the kick and snare hierarchy. Now let's process it with a simple chain. Put EQ8 first, then saturator, then chorus ensemble, then auto filter. With EQ8, high pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, maybe higher if the source is thick. If it has mighty body around 250 to 500 Hz, take a little out there. If it needs more bite, a small lift around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help. Be careful though. You want presence, not pain. Then add a little saturator, not destruction, just enough drive to make the chord speak through busy breaks. A few dB is often enough. Soft clip can help if needed. After that, a subtle chorus ensemble gives you that wobbly VHS memory without turning the sound into a giant pad. Keep the width under control. Then auto filter gives you movement later, which is crucial for arrangement. What to listen for now is the balance between edge and blur. If the chorus starts washing out the identity, back it off. If the saturation starts spitting harshly, reduce drive before you reach for more plugins. In D&B, a little mid-range attitude usually beats a lot of processing. Now we add instability. This is where the sound starts to feel like a worn sample or a cheap rave deck under pressure. You can do this inside the synth with subtle Waveatable movement, a tiny bit of pitch or filter modulation, or you can go straight to audio. My preferred workflow is to print it once the sound is about 80% there. That's a big D&B move. Commit early. Print the stab to audio, then treat it like a sampled fragment. That's often where the real jungle feel appears. You stop thinking like a synth designer and start thinking like someone chopping a record or a dub plate. If you print it, you can also slightly vary the clip start, nudge a few hits by a hair, or consolidate the best take into a single audio clip. Tiny timing imperfections can make it feel more live and more believable. Now build the rhythm like a hook, not a pad. Put the stab into a one or two bar phrase. Give it a hit, then space, then an answer. A classic move is one stab on a strong syncopated point, then a replinator in the bar, then a gap. In the second bar, change the rhythm slightly so it doesn't feel loop-pasted. Use velocity to make it breathe. Main hit stronger, reply hit a little softer, ghost hit even lighter or darker. That gives the phrase movement without needing more notes. What to listen for here is whether the stab is actually helping the groove. Does it leave room for the snare crack and break tail? Or is it sitting on top like wallpaper? If the groove feels stiff, try nudging the stab a few milliseconds late. In jungle, slightly behind the grid can feel heavier and more dub plate than perfect timing. Now bring in the drums and bass. This step matters more than any solo sound design move. Loop your break and bass line with the stab running. Listen in context immediately. If the stab is masking the snare attack around 2 to 5 kHz, shorten the tail or pull a little out in that zone. If the bass line loses definition, high pass the stab harder or reduce its stereo width. If the drums feel smaller, the stab is probably fighting for the same mid-range space. This is one of the most important habits in DNB. The break owns the transient, the stab owns the attitude. If both are trying to shout in the same space, you lose impact. So protect the snare pocket. Protect the bass line. Let the stab speak around them, not over them. Then shape the movement with automation. Open the filter on the first hit of a phrase. Maybe lift resonance slightly on a transition. Send a little more to reverb only at the end of a bar. Push a touch more saturation in the second half of a drop. Small moves like that make the sound feel like it's performing, not just looping. A really strong arrangement idea is this. Start filtered and restrained, then open it up later. First four bars, keep it tucked in. Next four bars, reveal more brightness and width. Then give the listener a small gap or mute before the next phrase lands. That kind of phrasing makes the stab feel like part of the tune's identity. For ambience, choose between dubspace and rave smear. Dubspace means a short or medium reverb send, with a low cut on the return fairly high so the tail stays clean. Rave smear means a brighter, shorter tail with more early reflection character. Both are valid. The key is not drowning the hit. In DNB, long reverb can sound huge in solo and messy in the mix. A good practical rule is this. If the reverb tail is still obvious after the next snare, it's probably too long for a busy drop. Shorten it before you turn it down. Once the sound is working, resample it again. This is where it becomes a real arrangement asset. Audio gives you speed. You can chop one hit, reverse another, filter a transition hit, mute part of a phrase, or build a shadow lane for fills. I like the idea of having a main stab lane and a shadow stab lane. The main one is the clear, functional version for the drop. The shadow version is darker, wetter, more filtered, and useful for transitions, intros, and little tension moments. That keeps you from overcommitting to one flavor. And here's a good mindset shift. Treat this like a sample you're building, not a synth patch you're finishing. The best old-school style stabs often feel slightly pre-aged already. A little memory is part of the magic. A quick check for mono is important too. If the sound falls apart when the stereo hype disappears, simplify the widening. Keep the core identity stable in the middle. Wide is nice, but fragile wide does not survive a club system. As for arrangement, think like a DJ and think in phrases. Maybe an 8-bar intro tease. Then a 16-bar build where the stab becomes more present. Then a restrained drop A where it answers the drums. Then a more open drop B where the rhythm changes or the octave shifts. Save the full reveal for when the listener is already locked into the break and bass. That last point matters. A late reveal can hit much harder than showing everything immediately. In old-school DNB, holding back the full stab and then letting it open up after the groove is established gives the whole tune more impact. A few things to avoid. Don't make the stab too wide at the start. Don't leave too much low mid body around 200 to 500 HE. Don't use a pad envelope when you need a stab envelope. Don't overdo chorus and modulation. And don't spend forever designing in solo while ignoring the break. If you're unsure whether to keep tweaking, ask yourself one question. Does the stab already create identity in the loop? If yes, stop sound designing and start arranging. That's where the track starts becoming real. So to recap, the recipe is simple but powerful. Build a mid-range focused stab from a simple synth source. Shape it with short envelope, subtle detune, eck, saturation, chorus, and filter movement. Check it against the actual break and bass line. Commit to audio when the character is there. Then arrange it like a hook, with phrases, contrast, and space. If you do it right, the stab should feel haunted, rave-ready, and just unstable enough to have personality, while still leaving the drums and bass free to hit hard. That's the lane. That's the vibe. Now jump into the practice challenge. Build one Selector Dub VHS rave stab, make a filtered variation, print at least one version to audio, and place it into a 16-bar jungle or old-school DNB loop with drums and bass underneath. Keep it out of the sub-range, keep it rhythmic, and make sure it still reads in mono. Do that, and you'll have something that sounds less like a preset and more like a real piece of the tune.